Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, security is being stepped up at the airport, both for domestic and inbound international flights. We have an update. Plus, remember when United Airlines had some Chicago police officers drag a doctor off a plane back in April? Those were police officers, weren't they? Well, you're about to find out the rest of the story.
Among the first to use it were sports franchises. Now it's popular with airlines and hotels. It's called dynamic pricing, and it's, well, why prices you see there, may be gone before you know it. Gwen Duncan joins us at 3:20 to explore this interesting phenomenon.
So why does your hotel key suddenly stop working? You know, that's got to be like the number one aggravation, Tom, when you're doing, you get to your key, you get to your room, your hands are full of junk, invariably it's late at night and the key doesn't work. So we also have Neil Diamond tickets to give away. He's coming to town. So the answers to these and other mysteries of the travel universe coming up at 3:35.
It's the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love in San Francisco. And so since so many of you are heading to the city to participate in the activities, we thought we wanted to review some of the cool things that are happening. It's going to help you out. That's coming up at 3:50.
The State Fair is in full swing down the street. The dog days of summer are rapidly approaching, and the latest edition of the Travel Guys is coming up now.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Alaska. To Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
Welcome, everyone. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, we're your hosts, and we're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A good Sunday afternoon. It's another scorcher here in Sacramento, and the radio station is just around the corner from the California State Fair, and boy, I'll tell you, people are, heat or no heat, they're heading in droves to enjoy themselves.
How do you know the State Fair is around the corner?
Well,
if you didn't know, here KFBK sits on top of a building here, just very near the State Fair, between the fair and Arden Fair and the Doubletree Hotel. And they've been having some air conditioning issues here now for a little while. Let's call it over a week. And so you come into the building and all of the windows, all the blinds and everything are pulled. It looks kind of like a cavern, you know. It looks like something illegal must be going on.
Well, yeah, you know, if you can, it's the old situation. If you can keep it dark and keep the sun out, it doesn't get quite as hot. Fortunately for us and all the other air talent that that provide you the news on KFBK and the KSTE control room and our FMs, by the way, those studios have active ACs that are working really well. Unfortunately, it's the news pit. And the production
is
studios.
Is that what we are? Are we air talent?
Yes.
Are we actually
enjoy that?
We actually fit into that category. Huh?
Yes,
loosely,
I think
probably.
So. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I don't
you
know what
probably
that
more than me.
I don't know what that means. But anyway, I guess that's us. Well, let's see.
I have had a great weekend.
I was going to ask you about your weekend.
I went to the city.
We usually don't talk about Mark's weekend.
We don't, because Mark doesn't usually get too many weekends where he's not running around across the country.
Or he's usually working.
Exactly. I went to San Francisco. We watched two Giants games, which went on, seemed like forever. And of course, the team's not playing all that well, but they were amusing and entertaining nonetheless. And then my buddies and I had a small poker game at the Marriott Hotel at Fisherman's Wharf last night. Hopefully the hotel service, they only came once and said it was a little too noisy.
Yeah, I saw that on Channel 2, News at 2 out of San Francisco.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. But, you know, we've known each other. There's eight of us, and six of us went to high school together. So we've known each other for over 40 years. We've played poker together, and we don't play for a lot of money. 50 cents is the limit of what we bet. So it obviously has nothing to do with money. It has to do with, and as time goes on, how many people do you know that you went to high school with that you still know where they are?
Like two?
Yeah, see? So it's really kind of cool to have all of these guys, and we went and and saw the ball games and just, you know, just kind of hung around together. Took the train to San Francisco, most of us and stuff. So anybody out there who's listening who has a group of old friends, male, female, or co-ed, mm-hmm. that they hang around with, that they've hung around with forever, that they've known for their whole life, knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Now, here again, it was the baseball game in San Francisco and spending some time there and probably dining at some place that you enjoy. Otherwise, you could have played poker anywhere. Now, I know you do play poker uh-huh. here in town with your buddies. A poker game in a hotel room at the Marriott in uh-huh. San Francisco, does it have a different feel to it? Is there a different enjoyment factor going on there?
Perhaps. And we did, fine dining was the order of the day. We had fried chicken from the Safeway. And
all the way to San Francisco.
The line at In-N-Out Burger was way too long. Let me just warn you, if you're going to Fisherman's Wharf and you think you're going to go to In-N-Out Burger, think again. Plan at least 2 hours for that little endeavor.
Really, they have an In-N-Out Burger on Fisherman's Wharf?
On the Fisherman's Wharf, but it's the only, well, it's been there for a while. It's the only one in the city. So, and In-N-Out Burger is so famous internationally that when people come to San Francisco, they want to go to In-N-Out Burger. Yesterday, this is no exaggeration, at In-N-Out Burger in the city, there were probably 50 people in line waiting to order and 25 or 30 people waiting to pick up their order. And the people at that franchise are really good about getting you in and out and stuff. They're only selling a couple products. It's pretty easy to run people through. Yes.
In and out.
But the city is just, the marathon was held today in San Francisco. The city was absolutely just busting with people, and the weather was spectacular. I mean, just yesterday was one of the great days. You know, in San Francisco, when you get one of those 70, 75 degree mm-hmm. days with a light breeze and everything is just perfect. And that's the way the weather was in San Francisco. But warning, if you're going to the city as a tourist, beware of the fact that a few other people have had the same idea and the city is really busting at the seams. So if you can avoid the weekend, do that. If you can go get up and start your day earlier in the day, do that. People in San Francisco tend to start earlier and go later. So if you can get the jump on them early in the morning, get out and get across the Golden Gate Bridge on the first ferry boat and walk back or something like that, get one of your big activities out of the day earlier in the day, you will have a much better visit to the city.
Get the jump on them.
That's it.
Okay, speaking of San Francisco, don't forget now, coming up in our last segment of the program, we're going to talk to
Lori from San Francisco.
Lori is with the Visitors Bureau in
she
San Francisco,
is.
And we're going to talk about where to go and the things to do if you want to experience that 50th anniversary summer of love that's going on in the city. Well, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we knock out the travel news. And with that, Mark, what you got for us today?
When we're done babbling about other things. All right, I mentioned in the headlines about increased security. This really is kind of two-pronged. We've talked about this some domestically here. Folks, if you're flying on a domestic flight, they are taking a little more time to get folks through security. They want to see foodstuffs. Like, I came back from Mackinac Island with a bunch of fudge. Fudge is the number one thing for them that's hard for them to see through because it's a mass and it looks like a plastic explosive. That's what the gal from TSA was explaining to me. So she said,
but it doesn't taste like it. And they will have to taste your fudge to be sure.
So if you're traveling domestically and you've got a lot of electronics in your bag and or a lot of foodstuffs in your bag, it's very likely that they're going to ask you, they're going to run your bag through a second time, which is going to slow you down. So as you're going through security, consider the possibility of voluntarily taking some of those things out. And that might make it easier for security to see through and ultimately might get you and all the people in line behind you through a little quicker. As for the international stuff, this has to do mostly with inbound type stuff. And we have a Sports Leisure Vacations group that's coming back internationally through Canada tomorrow. So we'll talk to Chris Galloway and ask him to verify this. But internationally, they're being a lot more careful with the electronics and things like that. So it TSA folks, Department of Homeland Security folks say that the aviation system is still the crown jewel in terms of what terrorists would like to get to. So that's why they are so nervous about this and trying to make sure that they keep us safe. So allow yourself some extra time at the airport, especially if you're flying domestically.
So if my son-in-law, who always carries a lot of electronics in his backpack, he's heading to Portland this coming weekend, should he be concerned?
No, he's just as going to, it's likely that they may, at some of the airports now, they're asking you to take the electronics out, even ones that you wouldn't, iPads and things you wouldn't, that are bigger than a cell phone, that you wouldn't normally take out. So it's just, I ask, you know, do you want the electronics out? Do you want the food out? And oftentimes they'll tell you. So if there's not someone there, you know, kind of a marshal that's kind of running the line, well, you can usually ask a question. Remember when the United Airlines had the doctor drug off the plane in Chicago? And
how could we all forget that?
It looked like those were police officers that drug the guy off the airplane.
Yes,
but it turns out
I think they had a thing on their shirt that said police. So what do you know?
They're not police officers.
They weren't.
They never were police officers, and it's always been the policy here at the Chicago Airport for quite some time to take their private security guys and put. Now the story is, the backstory on this is, these guys are city employees. So they are actually employees of the city of Chicago, but they are not police officers.
Oh, and they just happened to grab the wrong uni when they went to work that day?
Exactly. Apparently, this goes on a pretty regular basis, but it's not going to go on no more. It probably also has something to do with why, when the doctor sued United Airlines, the settlement precluded him from suing the airport or the company in charge of the people who took him off the airplane, because somebody, some lawyer somewhere, probably saw this coming, and the doctor probably did very well because of it. But turns out that the more than 3 months after the episode, the Chicago Department of Aviation concedes that their security officers were not actually police officers and that the uniforms had been, quote, improperly, end quote, marked. It vowed to remove the word from uniforms, vehicles, and other insignia, police officers, in the coming months. So how the heck do you improperly mark uniforms?
Boy, there's still more to this story that meets the eye.
There is. Royal Caribbean has started to not refund deposits on some of their fares. As we have, you know, some of the easy rules for travelers, the being able to cancel a hotel room the day before, being able to cancel a rental car up until the time you were supposed to pick it up, being able to make a reservation on a cruise ship and be able to get the deposit back. Well, now Royal Caribbean is offering some fares where you are not going to get your deposit back. We'll have to ask Gwen Duncan about that in the next segment. Let's see what else here. Foreign tourist arrivals to Canada have surged. May was the highest May arrivals in Canada's history. Combination of folks shying away from the United States and Canada's 150th birthday is making Canada a popular destination. Chinese tourists coming to the United States spend a tremendous amount of money on shopping. Well, they did spend a tremendous amount of money on shopping. Last year, they spent 17% less than they did in 2015, which is the first time that number has ever gone down since they started keeping track of it. So Chinese tourists, they have erected shopping plazas to lure them into the country all over the place. But the Chinese are starting to say, you know, we've got enough American garbage now. We'll just go to a restaurant, have a nice dinner. In San Francisco, a couple weeks ago, an Air Canada flight on the 7th of July almost landed on the wrong runway. He actually almost landed on a taxiway where four airplanes were sitting. It turns out that the details on that are now in. That plane missed the planes sitting on the runway there. He was only about 100 feet above those airplanes. Could have been the biggest aviation disaster in history.
Wow.
It was aborted because it didn't happen because a United Airlines pilot saw the plane coming in, saw what was going on, and yelled at the tower real quickly, and they yelled at the pilot, and he pulled up. If it had been literally 3 or 4 seconds later, he would have hit those planes. They're all on the runway. They're all full of fuel. It would have been very, very bad.
And they hollered to the pilot, Harrison Ford, pull up. Because if you recall, he almost ran into somebody anyway.
All right. We've got some other stuff here. I'll save it until after we talk to Gwen, mostly about hotel rooms in Oregon where the eclipse is coming.
Yes.
Yeah. Suddenly some of those reservations are getting canceled, and it's turning into a big to-do in Oregon. If you're going to see the eclipse in Oregon, especially if you've got rooms in Oregon, we've got some information for you a little bit later on in the program. Gwen Duncan joins us next to talk about the disappearing airfares here on The Travel Guys.
It's at 4 on News Radio KFBK.
We've got the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano here on KFBK every Sunday, 3 o'clock, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Follow along with all that we talk about week in and week out at TravelGuysRadio.com. And if you ever want to listen to one of our other shows again, try the podcast. Mark?
We are going to give... I probably should turn the microphone on. We will... People can hear me much better that way.
Much better.
We have some tickets to give away next week. We have 6 tickets to Neil Diamond. We will give them away in pairs of 2. They are all on the floor, so they are pretty good seats. And then we have some seats to see Damn Yankees at the Music Circus. So we are going to have a barrel of prizes next week, like we haven't had here on the Travel
Awesome.
Guys for a while. So we'll have some creative ways to give them away.
Okay,
yes.
So the listeners don't have to practice or do anything between now and next.
They don't have to sign up for anything.
Oh, okay.
Just if you like Neil Diamond or the Music Circus, you have to be listening next
week. That's
what
you listen.
That's it.
That's it.
If mom's always wanted to go see Neil Diamond, he's her favorite. You could score some tickets
there
next week from the
see
travel.
See him before
guys.
He's gone.
So, Gwen Duncan is in studio. Hi, Gwen. You
got
to hit that red button there. There you
okay.
go.
Okay.
All
right.
Got it.
Now that's it. Now Tom's not talking just to himself. He's the radio professional, so that's why
yes, he
always
is.
Remembers to turn his button on. So Gwen, we're going to talk today about folks are starting to go online. This is mostly happening with airfares now.
Yes.
People are reporting they go online, they check out an airline ticket from Sacramento to New York City on a certain date. And they say, well, that one looks pretty good. And maybe they click on the fare and they start to construct a ticket. And then at some point in time, they say, well, I'm going to go back and I'll come back to this later. They come back a couple hours later or they do answer a couple emails and they come back and go back and start constructing that ticket again. And by God, if the fare hasn't gone up $15.
That's right.
Or $55.
Sometimes it's a legitimate thing because they do a revenue management. That can happen legitimately. But many times... you could just go to another computer and you're going to get that lower fare.
Well, so the airlines are saying that this is just all in the pricing. It has to do with supply and demand. Have you, let me ask you, Gwen, since you have a retail travel agency and your customers, I'm sure, are asking you about this, has anybody ever reported that they went online and saw a fare for $298 and then the next time they went, it was $288?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes if it's lower, you're talking about if it went
that
lower.
That fare went down.
Yeah, the fare went. Now, if the fare goes down, there are the different airlines handle it a little differently. But you can get you don't get your money back, but you can get a credit towards a future airline ticket. However, they have terrible penalties for that. 75 to 150 per person. To change the ticket.
But remember, you get that window, that 24-hour window after you
yes.
buy a ticket. If you log on the next day and see the fare has gone down, you can still
cancel
go back and you can cancel the ticket and get a full refund. Yes,
Thomas. Now, wait a minute here. You're telling me that however they do it, the airline or the system that you're using that's connected to the airline knows that that you're on looking at a price. And they know you take a mini timeout, and then you're saying they intentionally will, for you on your computer, on that particular IP login, they'll up the price.
Absolutely.
Now, and here's the airline's explanation is it's dynamic pricing.
Oh, dynamic
and
pricing.
And so many people are looking at that exact combination of airfares at the exact moment that you were that they decided we can get more money for this. Or what I say is more likely is that the airline's computer's algorithm recognizes you and your IP address and tries to get a few more bucks out of you when you come back the second time. And that's supported by the fact, as Gwen can attest to, if you go to a different computer...
Go to a different computer, you can find that lower fare.
Sometimes the lower fare comes back up, or sometimes the same computer, you don't enter your frequent flyer number. You reboot the computer, you don't enter your frequent flyer number, united.com, and you go and you get the original fare. Now you can construct the ticket and then go back and put your frequent flyer number in later.
So
also, if you clear your cookies, if you clear cookies on your... on your machine.
I love it when she talks dirty.
I know, the cookies. So
yeah,
basically,
right.
the advice that you're giving the listeners to make them smarter travelers, or in this case, smarter about booking their flight, is if they see that the price has eked up and they haven't booked it yet, if they have a secondary computer, you advise that they go check the price on this other computer.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to compare. However, the one thing is that if you book it, we talked about this before, 24 hours, you can
then you can get a refund. But if it's more than 24 hours and the fare goes down and you're United, you're anybody besides Southwest,
that's right.
It's going to cost you $200 to get the lower fare, mm-hmm. which is absolutely bizarre and ridiculous in my opinion. But it's also ridiculous that the airline charges you $200 to cancel that ticket,
yes.
knowing damn well that in most cases they are going to resell that ticket to somebody. And because it's closer into departure time, the chances they're going to get more money for the ticket than they got from you in the first place, plus the $200 cancellation.
So they went both ways.
Oh, they went. The airlines are making right now, for years and years and years, airlines were a terrible stock market investment because they couldn't get out of their own way. But when they came up with that luggage fee 10 years ago, that changed the game entirely because they figured out a way to get a few bucks out of people that they weren't getting otherwise, and it wasn't really subject to as much competition. Yes, Southwest doesn't have it, baggage fees, but still most of the legacy carriers do.
But
yes.
That has some unintended consequences
uh-huh.
because now they've got so much overhead that when you get into the gate, you know,
uh-huh.
they'll come and they'll say, anybody want to check your luggage, we can do it for free. And you hurry up there and you can turn in your handheld luggage for free.
Don't you think that's kind of weird that in the gate area, I mean, in the lobby, they're trying to get $25, but if you can get it through security, you don't have to. I mean, is there anybody who hasn't figured that out yet?
No.
I mean, because why pay the fee up front when all you have to do is get it to the gate and then just go up and volunteer? Of course, I guess they could say, you know, we don't need volunteers' bags. The flight isn't full or something, but then
yeah,
you just
run
put
that
it on.
Risk. You run that risk, but you can ask them to gate check it. But we had the last trip we did, we had 8 segments and only one of them were we not offered to do it for free.
So the bottom line is, if you find that airfare kind of messing around with you, it doesn't hurt to go and look somewhere else. Plus, write down what it is that you had. Take a screenshot, something like that, so you can go back the next day and be able to compare it. Gwen, are you here for a while? Can you hang
yes.
around for the next segment?
Sure.
All right, we're going to do some interesting things in the next segment, include tell folks how it is that hotel key stops working all the time. We are the Travel Guys. We're going to take a break for the news, and we'll be right back on News Radio KFBK.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a ride on this one and only train. We can travel, you and me.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Marcus
yes.
Mio, our friend from Australia, wrote that song, sent it to us.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, sir. You have something important to say?
Nah, not a thing. I'm just taking a nap over here. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I do want to mention, by the way, if you travel, and this is that time of the year, and you might be away on a Sunday, and you're missing your old Travel Guys radio show,
aww.
Well, never fear. You just go ahead and get the iHeartRadio app
uh-huh.
for your smart device.
Mm-hmm.
Find KFBK, and there will be.
It will be. Or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and right at the top, you can put your email in, and we'll send you a link to the podcast every week. You can listen to the show without the commercials, or you can see other things on there. Like, for example, last week when Nick Valenzuela was with us and he talked about the best up-and-coming travel apps for the summer, well, there's still a link there. So if you missed the program, you can go right to that and see what Nick thought were the best travel apps for the summer. There's also a connection there to the State Fair. I want to talk about something that doesn't have a whole lot to do with travel just for a minute. Tom? As you know, I go to Washington, D.C. Once a year to lobby for the travel industry,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of us do that. A lot of industries do that. And a few years ago, I was there and had the opportunity to go to a senator's office with a couple of my travel friends from Arizona, and we went in and started talking to this one of the senator's staff, and after we were there for about 5 minutes, the senator himself came into the room and said hello and asked what we were there to talk about, and we told him, and he said, well, gosh, you know, that's kind of interesting to me. And he pulled up a chair and sat down with us and spent about 20 minutes with us talking about everything in tourism that was important to us and under the sun and was very intelligent about it. The man was John McCain. And ever since that day, I've thought that he's really a very remarkable man. And to have the opportunity to meet him even briefly up close and personal, and even though I didn't do anything more than shake the man's hand, now he's very sick. And it strikes me that while John McCain and my politics don't line up together all of that often, But John McCain is probably as close to a legitimate hero as there is in this country. And I really wish him and his family the best. And I think it's remarkable how politically the country is so divided. But yet when this happened, it was very easy for people from both sides of the aisle to immediately embrace his situation and wish him well. So he's a remarkable guy. And he faces a very, very tough battle. My daddy died of brain cancer, and he faces a very tough battle. And it doesn't look good, but I would not count him out. I would not, because
he's a tough cookie.
That's just the kind of guy he is. So I just wanted to stop and say that for a minute, because it was a travel thing that gave me the opportunity to meet the man. Okay, hotels in Oregon are doing something kind of awful. You know, Oregon tourism folks are known for being pretty nice people, you know, kind of grassroots people. And
you've always talked nice about them, Mark. You travel there quite often.
Friendly folks.
So what's this about?
Well, the eclipse is coming, you know, in a few weeks. And what's happened is a lot of the hotels didn't realize that until perhaps a few months ago that they were in the line of the eclipse and that all these people had jumped in and had beaten them to the punch. In essence, they were smarter than the hotel. Got a reservation for a room at a very reasonable price.
I think we've only known for like, you know, 1,000 years.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the hotel came back and said, well, gee, you know, we should have sold these $159 rooms for $359. So let's just do that. And we'll just kick all those people out and tell them they don't have reservations anymore unless they're willing to pay the higher price. Well, you know, that's like against the law. And no matter what state that you're in, and the Attorney General in Oregon has been cracking down on hotels, and he's not happy at all. Many hotels have had complaints registered against them. So he is telling people who are coming to Oregon to see the eclipse, you need to reconfirm your hotel reservation with your hotel now to make sure that it's there and that the price hasn't gone up. And if the price has gone up, then you need to contact me and talk to us about filing a complaint online. But if you are going to Oregon, or for that matter, anywhere else for the eclipse, and especially if you didn't pay an inflated rate for your hotel room, this might be a very good time before you get on an airplane or in a car and go a great distance, incur a lot of expense. Gwen, have you had anybody that you've booked for the eclipse?
Not for the eclipse.
Would you pay a lot of it? Would you pay two or three times the cost of a hotel room for an event like that?
No, but people will for like going to New York for Thanksgiving, you know what
yes.
I mean? But something like that, no.
What about you, Tom? Is that something that you would?
You know, I probably not. You know, I'm somewhat fascinated by it, but not fixated. I do know a gal that is fixated with it and spent a lot of time and effort to make sure that she could be there for it. And she went with an Airbnb, and I will be talking to her if I run into her at Tuesdays. And I will bring this up and make sure that she's aware that her Airbnb, just like others, there may be some changes. You know, it's sort of to each his own, but there are a lot of people that are fascinated by it. The thing is this, this is something that only happens once every hundreds, thousands of years, where it's going to be a total eclipse. What is it from the Oregon border to North Carolina?
Yeah.
And and there will be a lot of people that will that are fascinated by this. And here again, it's all about once in a lifetime or even more that they would like to be a part of it, to, you know, try to take a picture or whatever.
The assistant attorney general said that that a Motel 6 in Madras, which is a small town in Oregon, provided documentation that shows 13 customers reserved a room for a certain price and were informed that the price would not be honored. It said the hotel must provide each of the customers with either their originally booked room for the originally booked price or send a payment of $500 within 30 days. That's to each one. It also says the hotel must pay the state a $1,300 fine, $100 for each violation, and must obey Oregon's Unlawful Trade Practices Act and honor all advertising prices, or they will be shut down if they have any future violations. He's really not happy about this. And I understand that if people had reserved a hotel room and suddenly you're told it's going to cost two or three times as much. All right. Your you go to a hotel, you check in, it's 11:30 at night, you're tired, your flight's been delayed, you schlep your bags up to your room, you get in the elevator up to the ninth floor, you go all the way down the hallway to the end of the floor, you set your stuff down, you dig the key out of your pocket, you put it up to the door, and the door doesn't open. And you're like, well...
You look on the number, make sure you hit the right room.
Yeah. And then you got to retrace your steps all the way back down to the front. And of course, and if you've already been in the hotel for a while and you go back and you say, well, no, my key doesn't work. It worked before. And what is the first thing they say to you, Gwen?
If it's not working?
Yeah, if your key isn't working in a hotel.
Well, they'll replace it. But
when they say, didn't you put it in? You put it in your pocket with your phone?
Well, yeah, they'll say that, or it was too close to your wallet, you know, with
exactly.
your credit cards
magnetic
and stuff.
Except
yes,
if that's the case, how come all of your credit cards don't demagnetize every time they're close to your telephone?
Good question.
So that's kind of an old wives' tale. What this has to do with, the reason your hotel key doesn't work, it more often than not, it has to do with the machine that the key was prepared on. It's an old machine, and it's losing its ability to be able to magnetize the keys. So it isn't you that put your key next to the wrong thing in your pocket. It's the hotel who didn't magnetize the key enough in the first place, so it opened the darn door. Yeah, how about that? Physical damage. If you nick the key or something like that, you know, if you drop the key on the ground or something and it just hits a little pebble and it nicks part of that magnetic strip, it won't work.
Yes, it won't work.
Well, a word to the wise: if you let's say you're a points person, Starwoods, perfect example. I'm a Starwoods points collector.
Yes,
and a lot of times I will book a stay. I like the Four Points in San Antonio, Texas.
Right.
It's near the airport, recently remodeled, real new, very clean. And I've discovered that every time I go there, I'll book part points and part cash.
Right.
Well, if I book cash first, when that expires and it's time for the points part of the stay to begin, my card no longer works.
How interesting.
Because it's considered
two
separate
different
stays.
Reservations.
And so next time I'll remember to go down and get a new key before I end up at the room at 2 o'clock in the morning and not be able to get in.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with the hotel's machine or your phone or anything
it's
like that.
Just how the system works.
This report does admit that it is possible for a phone to demagnetize a key.
Yes.
If it was held in next to the phone with the key side, with the magnetic strip against the phone for several hours, it is possible for it to do that. But it also says that probably the reason that it became demagnetized was because the key in the first place was already in a weakened state. It wasn't magnetized properly, and that's why it became demagnetized. The only reason I bring this up is because it aggravates me to no end to go back to a hotel front desk and have the clerk go, oh, well, you must have put it in with your phone. Be very careful, and that won't happen. And I just want to just slap it. And especially if it happens twice. You know, you go through that whole thing and then you go back up and now the key doesn't work again and now I'm hunting bear. I mean, now I'm really looking for somebody interesting.
I've had so many interesting things happen at the hotel.
So don't put it in with your phone, but the next time at the hotel tells you that it's your phone or your something, just say, well, gee, all of my credit cards are still working and they all have a magnetic strip on the back. Maybe it's your machine that isn't magnetizing the strip enough. When we come back, Thomas, we're going to talk about one of your favorite subjects, the Summer of Love. And it's the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love in San Francisco. And we are going to tell you some of if you haven't gotten in on it yet, there are still some opportunities. And we'll tell you when we get right back on the Travel Guys.
Peace.
If you're going to San Francisco,
we are the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and always here to entertain and make you a smarter traveler. And of course, we've been kicking around the Summer of Love on and off all summer long, and we're bringing on another special guest to talk about it. Mark, introduce our special guest for today's show.
Well, from San Francisco Travel, we have Lori Armstrong Gossi. Lori and I kind of met over a table at the New York Times Travel Show. She picked up on the fact that I must have been from somewhere around her, if I'm remembering our conversation correctly, when I was recording a segment or doing a sound check or something, Tom, at the New York Times show. And so she offered her card and introduced herself, which was really a great thing. And then I lost her card for the longest time.
Nice.
But now I've found it. I found it again anew. And so we're able to talk to Lori. And Lori, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys.
It is my pleasure. And Mark, it's nice to talk with you again. Tom, it's nice to meet you, too.
Thank you, Lori.
Lori, there is a lot of stuff going on in San Francisco this summer. And I'm spending a couple of weekends down there in the foreseeable future, so I'll have an opportunity to be a part of it. But tell us a little bit about, we're in the kind of the middle of the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love. So what's it feel like? What's happening in San Francisco?
Well, I have to tell you, this has been an amazing time. This is, as you say, it's the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love, of that time in 1967 when about 100,000 young people came from around the world, across the country, to San Francisco, particularly to the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood and to Golden Gate Park, to just try living in a whole different way, you know, throwing out everything they knew about, you know, what was the usual, the normal, you know, what they were supposed to do, and just try some different things. And it was an incredible time. And even now, you know, it impacted us then, it impacts us now. The ideas and the things that happened then still have impact today. So there have been exhibitions and events planned all over the city, and they've been extremely popular. And then there are other activities that people can do this year or any time to kind of learn about and explore and experience that whole Summer of Love period of time. So it's been great. People all over the city have really embraced this. You know, some people, it's like they say, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. A lot of us really weren't there in the 60s because we are getting older. But people are really embracing this idea of, hey, peace, love, and rock and roll. You know, who couldn't use a little bit of that right now?
Yeah, there
well,
you go.
And you know, Lori, we've always said in the travel business, is that the fastest way to someone's heart is to recreate a piece of their childhood. And I suspect that that's some of what's going on here, is that you're taking people back to a different time and a different place, and now they are 50 years down, they're a lifetime down the road, and the opportunity to reflect on something like that doesn't happen very often. So it's a cool thing. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on here. You've given us kind of a short list here. Of course, we want to mention the thing at the De Young Museum, the Summer of Love experience, because Sports Leisure Travelers have been down several times to see it. We still have another trip to go, and they just love the exhibit there. Have you been over to the De Young?
I have, and that exhibit is wonderful. It's so much fun. It's, as you've seen, it's lots of great rock and roll posters. I didn't realize how much art there was involved in those concerts back in the 60s. So lots of posters, lots of fashions, you know, things that I looked at those going, I had something like that. I remember wearing that, even though I was only 8 years old in 1957. But, you know, that stuff, like I say, it stuck with us. And then they have some of these, you know, films and kind of the psychedelic experiences and stuff. And that has just been a tremendous exhibition. It's the largest of all of the Summer of Love exhibitions. And, you know, going on through August 20th, it's really been a terrific place to go. And I love the fact that it's in Golden Gate Park, which is where so much of that activity happened, the BN and all of these other concerts and happenings were in Golden Gate Park. So you're right there, kind of at the epicenter of it all.
And if you make it to Golden Gate Park, you Haight-Ashbury is right there. Tom?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I'll be down there on the 8th and looking forward to visiting the De Young Museum. And there's a few things that people would immediately kind of key on, the Haight-Ashbury area and so forth. But, Lori, what other spots that are kind of out of the way that people can kind of relive that ongoing experience of the Summer of Love in San Francisco this time around?
Well, another place that's having a really great exhibition is the California Historical Society, which is down on Mission Street, kind of in the south of Market area. They have an outstanding show going on called the On the Road to the Summer of Love. And this is curated by a gentleman named Dennis McNally. He was the publicist for the Grateful Dead and kind of by nature became a historian of it too. And he really does a great job of showing what are some of the events that kind of led up to 67 and, you know, what was going on with people like the Grateful Dead? What were some of the influences that were there? So that's a great context as well. So, and that's going on until September, which is a lot of fun. Places that you can go anytime to experience and get a little bit of the flavor of the Summer of Love. One of my favorites is the Fillmore Auditorium, which I really consider to be the cathedral of rock and roll. You just go in there and you feel the spirit of all of those great bands that have played then and are still playing now. They've got, of course, that's where all the rock and roll posters started, that everybody that attended one of their concerts got a poster and an apple from Bill Graham. And so you can go in there and you can see the rooms full of these great posters, and it's a great place to go for that. Of course, walking up and down Haight-Ashbury and Haight Street is a lot of fun. It's gone through a lot of changes. I think right now it's a tremendous place for a little shopping, a little people watching. There's a really fun store there called Love on Haight where you can get all your psychedelic gear, you know, your tie-dye and everything. There's some great restaurants there. You can find, you know, brew pubs and Indian food and whatever you want. And then there are a lot of walking tours that will take you around there, and they'll give you the context and they'll show you, okay, that's where Janis Joplin lived, and that's where the Grateful Dead lived, and this is where this happened, this is where that happened. And they can also talk a little bit about, again, the context of what started then that continues now, like the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic that started then. You know, there was a doctor that came and he saw there were all these kids that had just, you know, they left home, they were basically runaways, and they were sick and homeless, and, you know, someone had to take care of them. So he started the free clinic, which continues today. Same thing with the Huckleberry Youth Program to help all of these kids. So these are things, you know, those ideas of compassion and sharing, again, really took root during that period of time. You might hear about the Diggers and the groups that were giving away free food and that sort of stuff. The San Francisco Mime Troupe, they started during that period of time, and their message continues today, too. So, again, lots of things that you can see and experience today. Again, just walking down Haight Street is, it's a trip, as they say. It's a lot of fun.
Tom, it strikes me here, it's a shame Lori doesn't have any passion for any of the things that are going on in the city this summer.
Honestly, yeah, especially.
Seems kind of disappointed that, you know, things are not coming together that well.
Not bad for an 8-year-old, you know.
Yeah,
Lori,
exactly.
I'm sure that there are pretty good crowds. There's a lot of folks coming to see all of this. Is it, any recommendations as to whether it's better to maybe catch it in the middle of the week? And I do know that for those that are listening, the DeYoung Museum and that particular exhibit is closed on Mondays. So any advice in regards to best time to visit?
Well, anytime, of course, is going to be great. As we get towards the fall, of course, this is going to end in August, but anytime is good. Probably midweek is going to be a little bit better for you. Something I would certainly recommend for people visiting San Francisco is if you can find your way around it, don't bring a car. Come by bus. Once you're in the city, you know, take our public transportation system. Grab an Uber, grab a Lyft, you know, take Muni, whatever. This is not a city that you want to be spending your time and energy on finding parking and paying those rates and paying for your rental car. Go with a tour company like yours. Go with, you know, again, get yourself into the city and leave your car alone.
Well, there you go. And don't forget now, a link to all that we've been talking about is available at travelguysradio.com. In fact, if you're listening to this podcast, well, you can get it right here. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, we'll see you next time.